శ్రీ సాయి సచ్చరిత్ర ద వండర్ఫుల్ లైఫ్ అండ్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ సాయిబాబా. శ్రీ సాయి సచ్చరిత్ర చాప్టర్ 1 ద స్టోరీ ఆఫ్ గ్రైండింగ్ వీట్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ ఫిలాసఫికల్ సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్. అకార్డింగ్ టు ద ఏన్షియంట్ అండ్ రివర్డ్ కస్టమ్ హేమత్ పంత్ బిగిన్స్ ద వర్క్ శ్రీ సాయి సచ్చరిత్ర విత్ వేరియస్ సెల్యూటేషన్స్. First, he makes obeisance to the god Ganesha to remove all obstacles and make the work a success, and says that Shri Sai is the god Ganesha. Then, to the goddess Saraswati to inspire him to write the work, and says that Shri Sai is one with this goddess and that he is himself singing his own life. Then to the gods Brahma, Vishnu and Shankara, the creating, preserving and destroying deities respectively, and says that Sainath is one with them, and he, the great teacher, will carry us across the river of worldly existence. Then to his tutelary deity Narayana Adinatha, who manifested himself in Konkan, the land reclaimed by Parashurama from the sea, and to Adi, original Purusha of the family. Then to the Bharadwaj Muni, in whose gotra he was born, and also to various rishis Yajnavalkya, Bhrugu, Parashar, Narad, Vedavyas, Sanaka, Sanandan, Sanatkumara, Shukha, Shaunak, Vishwamitra, Vasishta, Valmiki, Vamadev, Jaimini, Vaishampayan, Nava Yogindra, etc., and also modern saints such as Nivrutti, Danyadev, Sopan, Muktabai, Janardhan, Ekanath, Namdev, Tukaram, Kahana, and Narahari, etc. Then to his grandfather Sadashiv, father Raghunath, his mother who left him in his infancy, to his paternal aunt, who brought him up, and to his lovingly elder brother. Then to the readers, and praise them to give their whole and undivided attention to this, to his work. And lastly, to his guru, Sri Sainath, an incarnation of Sri Dattatreya, who is his sole refuge, and who will make him realize that Brahma is the reality and the world an illusion, and incidentally to all the beings in whom the Lord God dwells. After describing in brief the various modes of devotion according to Parashar, Vyasa and Shandilya, etc., the author goes on to relate the following story. It was sometime after 1910 that I went one fine morning to the masjid in Shirdi for having a darshan of Sai Baba. I was wonderstruck to see the following phenomenon. After washing his mouth and face, Sai Baba began to make preparation for grinding wheat. He spread a sack on the floor and thereon set a handmill. He took some quantity of wheat in a winnowing fan and then drawing up the sleeves of his kafni, that is robe, and taking hold of the peg of the handmill, started grinding the wheat by putting a few handfuls of wheat in the upper opening of the mill and rotated it. I thought, what business Baba had with the grinding of wheat, when he possessed nothing and stored nothing, and as he lived on alms. Some people who had come there thought likewise, but none had the courage to ask Baba what he was doing. Immediately this news of Baba's grinding wheat spread into the village, and at once men and women ran to the masjid and flocked there to see Baba's act. Four bold women from the crowd forced their way up and, pushing Baba aside, took forcibly the peg or handle into their hands and, singing Baba's leelas, started grinding. At first Baba was enraged, but on seeing the women's love and devotion he was much pleased and began to smile. While they were grinding, they began to think that Baba had no house, no property, no children, none to look after, and he lived on alms, and therefore he did not require any wheat flour for making bread or roti. What will he do with his big with this big quantity of flour. Perhaps, as Baba is very kind, he will distribute the flour amongst us. Thinking in this way and while singing, they finished the grinding, and after putting the handmill aside, they divided the flour into four portions and began to remove them by taking one portion per head. Baba, who was calm and quiet up till now, got wild and started abusing them, saying, "Ladies, have you gone mad? Whose father's property are you looting away? Have I borrowed any wheat from you so that you can safely take the flour? Now do this, take the flour and throw it on the village borders." On hearing this, the women felt abashed and, whispering among themselves, went to the outskirts of the village and spread the flour as directed by Baba. I asked the Shirdi people, what was this that Baba did? They replied that as the cholera epidemic was spreading in the village, this was Baba's remedy against the same. It was not wheat that was ground, but cholera itself was ground to pieces and pushed out of the village. From this time onwards, the cholera epidemic subsided and the people of the village were happy. I was much pleased to know all this, but at the same time my curiosity was aroused. I began to ask myself, what earthly connection was there between wheat flour and cholera? What was the causal relation between the two, and how to reconcile them? The incident seemed to be inexplicable. I should write something on this and sing to my heart's content Baba's sweet leelas. Thinking in this way about this leela, my heart was filled with joy and I was thus inspired to write Baba's life, the Sai Satcharitra. And as we know, with Baba's grace and blessings, this work was successfully accomplished. Philosophical significance of grinding. Apart from the meaning which the people of Shirdi put on this incident of grinding wheat, there is, we think, a philosophical significance too. Baba lived in Shirdi for about 60 years, and during this long period, he did the business of grinding almost every day. Not, however, the wheat alone, but the sins, the mental and physical afflictions, and the miseries of his innumerable devotees. The two stones of his mill consisted of karma and bhakti, the former being the lower one and the latter the upper one. The handle with which Baba worked the mill consisted of dhyana. It was the firm conviction of Baba that knowledge of self-realization is not possible unless there is the prior act of grinding of all our impulse, desires, sins, and of three gunas, that is, sattva, raja, tamas, and the ahankar, which is so subtle and therefore so difficult to get rid of. This reminds us of the similar story of Kabir, who, seeing a woman grinding corn, said to his guru, Nipant Niranjan, I am weeping because I feel the agony of being crushed under this wheel of worldly existence, like the corn in the handmill. Nirapta Niranjan replied, do not be afraid. Hold fast to the handle of knowledge of this mill, as I do, and do not wander far away from the same, but turn inward to the center, and you are sure to be saved. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all.